You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're on the BFM Breakfast Show. In the studio this morning, we have got two winners of the Fred Award. We've got Trigvy and we've got Barney. Welcome, both of you, and congratulations on winning the big prize at the Comedy Fest this year.
Woo! Hello. Thank
hello.
You.
Thank you.
We were just chatting off here as well, Trigvy. It's actually your second Fred.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
A nice flex.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just me and Di Henwood, the only two that have won it twice.
Oh, nice.
But this time is nice because, you know, now I get to do this little victory lap with Barney holding hands, running around and doing more shows.
Fantastic.
Which is cool. Last time I won, I just got out of town again.
Yeah, so you get to really celebrate it. Different Party is the name of the show. How would you describe it for someone who hasn't seen it yet? What's the world that people are stepping into, Barney?
It's like okay, the best way to describe it is when you watch some 3, 4, 5 year olds playing a career.
Okay, yes.
Whatever they say, pilots or
shops,
knights or shops. And they just do things that they think happen in that scenario.
Yes.
It's that, but two men in an office.
Okay.
Playing, we work in an office.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing really happens. And it is primarily explored through kind of absurd physical comedy.
Yeah, right.
But there is also words.
Sometimes.
It's quite, I don't know the ratio of words.
There's enough to make it confusing for Germans.
Okay, right. That's a good frame of reference, I feel. I see where you're coming from
there. Yeah, Germans can buy the show thinking they're going to get tons of physical comedy, and they will.
Yeah.
But then they'll also get too many words.
Too many words going on in there as well. What does the process of creating a show like Different Party look like for you guys? Because you're old friends and both, you know, work in this kind of surreal and absurd and physical space in your own, you know, comedy careers. But what does it look like when you bring it together? How did this show come about?
It was exactly that, trying, like, but we'd had this, we'd done lots of work together, and then we went off and did solo careers for a while. And then the reason for making the show was because we wanted to hang out again.
Yeah, nice.
Trigvy was in Prague, I was in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. So I just flew over one to Melbourne and had like a nice summertime Christmas kind of time, and then me and Barney hung out in a rehearsal room. And like, in terms of making the show, at first, like, we didn't know anything. We'd been to Korea, and Koreans have a funny way of doing comedy where they have like comedy teams, and the teams have these comedy themes. So maybe they dress up in baby costumes, or maybe they dress up as like
Ninja girls, or dinosaurs.
Whatever
that
their theme is.
So much fun.
Yeah, it's so
to both
good.
Perform and also watch, I feel, from everyone's perspective.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And so we wanted to do that, to be a two-person comedy team.
Nice.
But then we didn't know what that was for a while.
We chose businessmen
as our team.
Why why businessmen? When did you kind of think
remember.
That's the thing?
Just because we thought like, that's a look.
Yeah.
No, do you know what it is?
What?
I know what it is.
Well, I can't remember.
It's a really, okay, you got to follow the thread a little bit, but
we
had the title Different Party. From party, we're like, maybe it's not like a party, but a political party. Politicians wear suits. Businessmen wear suits. We'll be businessmen.
I feel like you guys would be a very formidable articulate team, you know? I feel like there'd be a good shorthand there or something.
I see the
thread going through. Yeah. Nice. Okay. That makes sense.
But then we spent 5 weeks mucking around in a rehearsal room and only came out with, I think, 11 minutes of stuff.
Okay.
And then had to go to the Perth Fringe to debut.
Mm-hmm.
And then got there about 3 days early or something, and then were stressing out and still hadn't really. Oh, we made up one great discovery about throwing cups.
I think the day before
we opened. Anyway, we opened with 11 minutes of stuff and then just had, like, our technician would ring make a phone call ring sound, and we knew that when that happened we had to improvise for 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And then she'd ring it again and we would stop improvising and we could go to our list of, this is something we know.
A bit that you've practiced.
Yeah. And then just through doing those improvisations on stage in the world, we came up with so much stuff on the first night that we halved the amount of improv. Three nights later, we are only improving once. And
that's really a good way to pressure cooker yourself into making a show, I feel.
Yeah, somehow also, like, in an office setting, it was just quite a lucky thing that we had this weird guys in an office, because, I mean, we could just stand around and look at bits of paper, and that was like,
yeah, you can stand,
that's okay,
think.
They're doing, like, acting, but they're like business guys.
I don't have anything, I'm just going to stare at this blank piece of paper and then until Trigby comes up and suggests something.
And the longer you stand, the more it becomes a joke as well, so yeah, nice.
Trying to find words on it. Yeah. Anyway, but the cool thing was that we had a bunch of, I guess we call it a set list. We had a bunch of, like, bits that each had a title, like Pigeons or whatever. But then we decided to go and do it in Melbourne, but we would just change the order right before each show. We'd write down a different order of how all the bits should go.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that we didn't get stuck into, like, and now this is what happened next.
Yeah.
So that we kind of had that feeling of, what's going on?
Yeah.
Quite in each other's, like, we had to kind of look for, what are you doing now, in each other's eyes?
Yes.
And that kept it sparky, I think. And it wasn't until, like, the final week of a month-long season in Edinburgh that we basically settled on how it should go.
That feels like a very an interesting way to develop a show. Also, lots of locations that have kind of come into the map of that. Do you feel like that influenced any of the content or the way you were thinking about it, having those different, you know, contexts, different audiences to be making in?
I don't know. I wouldn't say so. I think the advantage of that is simply that you just get more audiences, you get more time to do the show more times, you know, because you're moving cities. Like, you know, I feel like traveling with a show is a great way to practice it, because you run out of audience quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like
I want to think of an example, but I can't think of one. But I'm sure that, like, there was something about performing in China that influenced one gag slightly, and now that gag is that way because of the third show that we did it in China.
Yeah, that's true. That does happen.
Yeah.
You have to problem solve. You go, no one understands this joke, so you tell it in a different way, and then you're like, that is actually a better way of telling that joke.
Kind of helps you find the kernel of whatever it is you're actually trying to do with it, maybe, or something.
Yeah, because it's a thing that happens a lot to New Zealand comics, I think, is that you just get used to your audience, and so you don't really grow. You don't have to figure out a different way of telling the joke because you've figured out the way that everyone loves it.
Yeah.
But if you keep doing it if you keep searching or just going outside of your comfortable audience, it's really refreshing because it forces you to go, fuck, they're not getting it. How do I?
It's humbling, maybe, or, you know, going back to the drawing board a little bit about how to tell it. Yeah,
making it still be alive and still have joy for you.
Yeah, totally. And, I mean, it is a joyful show. And I think that there's something about the, I mean, getting the Fred is a massive deal. It is a massive deal. Mm. Even if you had it twice, it's a very massive deal.
It's twice a massive deal.
You and Di Henwood, that's a really cool person to be in, you know, cahoots with on that.
Yeah.
But I think this is a show that maybe some people are a little bit scared of physical theatre or, like, scared of the absurd. This is a great show to just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and get in, I think. How would you sort of encourage people in the door to this one?
It is pretty accessible. There is no audience interaction. Those are two big selling points, I think. People hate audience
interaction.
You're not
going to get pulled up from the front row.
Yeah, no way, Jose. We're not even going to talk to you.
Yeah, cool.
We'll barely acknowledge your presence.
Yeah.
You just sit there, watch us be funny.
Nice.
Sam Harmon from Plato's Retreat said it in a really nice way to me. He said, he came and saw the show and he went, yeah, I mean, I think there's heaps of comedians there. And, you know, comedians are really smart and they have funny jokes and everything like that. But sometimes you just want to see someone slip on a banana.
That's true. You really do. Nice one,
Sam. Especially right now.
Yeah.
With everything that's going on in the world right now, I just want to see someone slipping on a banana.
Well, if you want to see someone slipping on a banana this week, Wednesday and Thursday are the nights to catch you at the Q Theatre Loft. You've got two shows on Thursday night, is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
We've just added the second show, so Wednesday and Thursday it's at 6:30, and we've added 8:15 on Thursday night also.
Fantastic. Run Don't Walk to get tickets to that one, and you can head to comedyfestival.co.nz. You can head to Q Theatre's website. Anywhere else people can head to get a ticket?
I think it is only Q Theatre.
Oh, it's only Q Theatre now. Okay. Do those then. Don't listen to me. Thank you both so much, and congrats again on your Fred Award.
Thank you. Fantastic
show.
On your incredible tenure as the greatest BFM breakfast host.
Oh, thank you very much, Barney. Pleasure to have you both in the studio this morning. We'll see you in the theatre. Catch you soon.
Thank you. See you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.